this point, North America was basically a mutant and monster-infested wasteland, and mainland Asia wasn't much better. Of course, the war happened long before Daisuke's time. 200 years before, as a matter of fact. He yawned, happy to let random facts distract him from the limo driver waiting for him back at the terminal.
"Where are you from, kid?" the cabbie asked.
Japanese cabbies weren't exactly known for being chatty, but it seemed he'd found an exception.
"Here, by way of Switzerland."
"You?"
"Here. I retired last year. Took the cab driving job to get out of the house. It was that or the wife threatened to divorce me."
Daisuke dutifully chuckled at the lame joke and offered a silent prayer to any listening archangel that the driver would be satisfied.
"What brings you to town?"
"Business."
Maybe a one-word answer would get him to take the hint.
"No kidding. Usually the business guys wear suits and are at least 10 years older than you. Must be a laid-back business if they let you wear a t-shirt and jeans."
"Keep calm and don't cause a scene." That thought ran through Daisuke's head over and over.
"I'm a freelancer, and my customers don't care what I wear as long as I get the job done. It was a long flight, so I'm going to rest my eyes until we get to the hotel."
"Sure, don't mind me. It'll be about half an hour."
Daisuke closed his eyes and silently activated a spell. The cab appeared in his mind just as if his eyes were still open. Japan might be a low-crime nation, but he still wasn't about to trust a complete stranger. Fortunately, the trip passed without issue, and soon enough they came to a stop in front of a 20-story hotel painted deep blue and gray. A sign over the revolving door read, "Continental Blue."
"Here we are," the cabbie announced. "That'll be 1,000 yen.
Daisuke passed him a black credit card, and a moment later got a receipt, his credit card, and the cabbie's business card.
"You need a lift somewhere? Give me a call."
"Thanks."
Daisuke climbed out of the cab and sighed as it pulled away. If he needed a ride, he'd be sure to find a quieter driver. He pushed through the revolving door and walked through the lobby to the front desk. He had the whole place to himself, which was unusual. The scattered chairs were empty, and there was no one perusing the snack bar. A chime of the brass bell on the check-in counter brought a skinny little man barely tall enough to reach the computer. He typed for a moment, then asked,
"Do you need a room, sir?"
"I should have one, Daisuke Kugo."
"Ah, yes, sir, Mr. Kugo. We have you in a suite on the top floor. All paid up for the rest of the month."
The little man reached under the desk and brought out a key card.
"There you are, sir. Do you have bags? If so, I can call the bellhop."
"I'm good. Thanks."
So saying, Daisuke headed for the bank of elevators behind the check-in counter. When he glanced back, he found the clerk punching numbers furiously into the phone. That couldn't be good. He shrugged and pressed the call button. Looked like he was going to have to deal with his family after all. But if he was right, at least they would have to come to him. The silent ride to the top floor was a boon to his soul. As someone that spent most of his time working alone out in the middle of nowhere, being surrounded by people and having to talk to them was a chore he'd just as soon foist off on someone else. Pity he couldn't this time. The key card said room 3, and he soon found it. The lock beeped when he put the card in and he pushed through the door. The boss certainly hadn't skimped on his accommodations. There was a king-sized bed in the main room, a queen in another room, a huge bathroom with a tub and a tile shower, and finally a full kitchen. He could move in here and live quite comfortably. It was actually nicer than his apartment in Zurich. Not that he spent much time there. He pulled his phone out, tapped his boss's number, and waited. 3 rings brought an answer.
"You made it okay."
The boss's voice was a rough, throaty purr. She thought it sounded sexy. Daisuke thought it sounded like she smoked too much, which she did.
"Yeah, no sweat. Any updates on the job?"
"Despite my warnings, the idiots refused to take the bronze prison out of the exhibit. It's only one item, a rather plain-looking piece. Yet you'd swear I was asking them to set fire to the main display."
"That's not ideal. Any word on the seal?"
"Helena lost it."
"Shit. So not only is the prison not secure, but the Blood of Solomon has the seal." "That's pretty much the worst possible news. Is Helena okay?"
"There's nothing wrong with her that a day in a healing circle won't fix. But it was close. It's all on you now, Daisuke."
Daisuke let out a long